possessed and tortured by many demons. And we're going to talk about that today. So here we go. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm going to continue the series. I'm entitling the series, I started it 2 weeks ago. It's called Healing is Possible. Healing is Possible. Subtitled, Caring for Our Mind, Body, and Soul. And I talked in that first sermon about the whole premise of, if you had like three circles, one right mind in it, then another one that's interconnected, right body in it, and then another one that's connected soul. Mind, body, and soul are all interconnected. And they work together in harmony. They're designed to work together in harmony for our mental well-being, our physical well-being, and our spiritual well-being. They all work together. And God made us this divine way. We were divinely created. And so, as I've been working on these sermons, I realize it's almost like I'm writing a book. You know, you get into something and you really dig in and you realize, man, maybe I'm writing a book. So I don't know. Maybe it'll turn into a book. We did chapter one. Chapter two is Healing is Possible, Thought Replacement Therapy. Okay? We're going to look at the first sermons in this are going to be about our mind. Okay? We're going to focus on our mind. The importance of our mind. Then we'll focus on our body. Then we'll focus on our soul. And how all interrelate and all work together when we work together with God to bring us wholeness and wellness and healing. I was doing a little research for this one today on the mental state, and I think it's clear today that we see a crisis in our country, a mental health crisis, amen? Yeah? Physical health crisis, amen? All of these things are being brought out to our attention, and I believe religious leaders and as well would say we're in a spiritual crisis as well today in our country. And there's some alarming statistics if we just focus on the mind for a moment. Just a couple of them. I won't go into. I got a lot in here in the chapter, but I won't share it all for sake of time today. But I was alarmed when I did some research on the mental health crisis in America. And more than 1 in 5 U.S. adults live with mental illness each year. That's over 60 million people. About 1 in 20 adults experience serious mental illness that deeply impacts their daily life. Young adults, 18 to 25, have the highest rates of mental illness. Over 1 in 3 struggle with mental illness. These are, by the way, these are all from good sources. National Institute of Mental Health, the Mental Health America, the North American Mental Health Institute, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And only 1 in 4 adults with mental illness say their needs for treatment are fully met. I think that's because it's hard to find treatment. It's expensive and that type of thing. This was interesting with youth and teenagers. 1 in 6 U.S. youth experience a mental health disorder each year. 50% of lifetime mental illness begins by age 14. The importance of what we put in our children, isn't it, to help them mentally? And 75% by age 24. About 2.8 million teens experience severe major depression. And anxiety and depression symptoms are extremely common among our youth, with large percentages reporting stress, anxiety, or persistent sadness. Alarming statistics regarding suicide and despair. Suicide remains one of the leading causes of death among young people. Nearly 49,000 Americans died by suicide in 2024, about 1 every 11 minutes. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 14. So these statistics are alarming to us. But I also want us to go to our faith, because our faith has something to say about this. For God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't want us to live in mental dis-ease. God wants us to be in a relationship with us so that He can show us how to live life to the fullest and abundantly. God came to us in person, in the very person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who said Himself in John chapter 14, 6, that He is the way and the truth and the life, and that there is no other way to have a relationship with God but only through Him. So what we're talking about, what we talked about in chapter 1, was laying that foundation based on the premise that wholeness, wellness, and healing for our minds, our bodies, and our souls is definitely what God wants for us. God offers us this wholeness and healing through trusting Jesus Christ. It has to start there, through believing in Christ, having a relationship with Him as our personal Lord and Savior. That's where it all begins. And the most important question to ask is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you repented and believed in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? If you have, then you are born again. You are now filled with the Holy Spirit that will empower you to live a new life filled with healing, hope, forgiveness, joy, power, and purpose for living. Make sure you profess this faith publicly. And be baptized into this new Spirit-filled life and into this new family that you belong to, the family of God. The basic premise of this healing series is that God divinely created us with a mind, a body, and a soul that is designed to work in harmony together in relationship with God and bring healing and wholeness to our mind, our body, our soul. Our MBS. If you will, I'm calling it our MBS. Say MBS. MBS. We're really at our best place, church, when our MBS is in harmony with God. There's a powerful synergy that occurs when our MBS is working in harmony together. We are divinely created for our minds and our bodies to heal themselves. Healing and wholeness does occur quite miraculously when the harmony of our MBS is in harmony with God, our Creator. But you know, our MBS, those three circles, mind, body, and soul, maybe they're not always in harmony. You know, a person might be really strong physically. You're the workout person, and they go to the gym, and they take care of themselves nutritionally and diet and exercise and all that good stuff. But maybe their spiritual life is lacking. Maybe their mental life is not fully there. Or maybe a person is strong in their spiritual life. You know, in the Word and going to church and involved with the Lord and walking with the Lord. But maybe it's a little out of balance in the other areas of life. Do you see what I'm saying? That all three, when they work together, and this isn't a sermon at all to have you discouraged. I don't want you to be discouraged. I'm preaching to the choir here too, okay? But I don't want you to be discouraged at all. I just really think that as a pastor and as a church and in the day in which we live in, let's address these issues. Amen? Come on, don't we have something to say about this? I think we do. And as a pastor, I need to get out of the saddle. I need to step up and address it. What's the Word say about this? What's our faith say about this? What does God have to say about these crises that we're in? The world says, what a mess. Oh, my, 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 what are we going to do? And they're real. These crises are real. But I believe our faith has something directly to say to this. And I really think this is really about stewardship. You know, we often think of money. We need to be good stewards of our money. Well, sure, certainly that's, of course, we do. But aren't we called to be good stewards of everything God has given us? And aren't we called to be good stewards of what's between the ears, our minds? Huh? Aren't we called to be good stewards of our bodies? Aren't we called to be good stewards of our spiritual life and spiritual well-being and care? I want you to be selfish a little bit in this series. And I mean that in a good way. It's okay. It's more than okay. It's a good thing to take care of ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. Don't feel guilty about that. It's a good thing. It's what God wants for us. And in the first chapter, we talked about Jesus being our great physician and that He has a free health clinic available to us 24/7. Remember, no insurance premiums needed. No co-deductibles. No co-pays. You can go 24/7. And remember that first, we had a prescription. We're dealing with our minds for a few weeks. So in chapter 1, we talked about the great physician. He wrote a prescription for us to get us started. And all these prescriptions that we'll get each week, you use them anytime you need them. To help, they'll help us from God's Word. They'll help our mental well-being. Let's stay focused on the mind now, okay? Let's dive into the mind. Do you remember what number 1 on the prescription pad was? See, I stumped you already. It's okay. Take large doses, a minimum of 1,000 milligrams per day of God's Word into your mind and thoughts. And whatever 1,000, I had someone after the sermon say, well, how much is 1,000 milligrams? I said, I don't know. You'll have to determine that. But how important it is to put in our mind God's Word. And you're going to make a connection to that when I'm done here with this message, okay? Because the two go hand in hand, okay? And find those sermons particularly that speak to our mental well-being and mental health. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you, the Lord said. Right? Find those scriptures that bring you peace and harmony and rest for your mind. That remind us who God is and how much He loves us and that He is there for us in every way. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let that dwell in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. Let's go to number 2 on our prescription for today, written by our great physician to help us find peace and healing for our mental dis-ease. Whatever that might look like for you, we all experience it to various degrees in our lives. Sometimes it's pretty severe. Sometimes it might be middle of the road. Sometimes we might not be so severe. Number 2 on the prescription reads, be careful what you allow into your mind. Monitor carefully. That's in bold print on the great physician's prescription. Use the CIRR process. I'll get to that in just a moment, what that is. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you allowing from the vast array of social media so present in our lives today to influence your thoughts and your perceptions? What voices are you allowing to influence your life? Do you have negative voices from the past? Do you have negative, destructive voices now in the present that are influencing you? The great physician has the power and authority to renounce and cast out any and all negative voices that are destructive to your peace and well-being. You can call upon him to do this for you anytime you need 24/7. The great physician has all power and authority given from the Father in heaven to cast out all negative voices, including even the worst voices that are embedded in our thoughts and brains. You and I don't deserve to have negative, hurtful voices from the present or the past causing us distress and pain. Amen? These harmful voices can be like a chatterbox going over and over in our minds. They can be voices from our past struggles and difficulties. These voices can be from past memories, from someone who maybe treated us harshly or abused us in some way. These voices can be voices of shame, guilt, and condemnation we pour upon ourselves for mistakes we have made. These voices can be voices of past or current trauma we have experienced or are experiencing now. The voice or voices could be a voice of someone who is very critical of you and just seems to always be pecking away at you. You ever have someone in your life who just seems like they're always pecking away at you? By the way, do you know what the most dangerous animal on Noah's Ark was? The lion? The tiger? The bear? No. The woodpecker. It's true, isn't it? A woodpecker can take that ark down. I'm sure he had a little cage for those rascals. You see, the voices pecking away at us can take us down. And I put in big, bold, capitalized letters, if we let them. Come on. You see, you and I have a choice of what voices we listen to. Amen? There's a wide variety, an array of negative voices that can get in our head and cause us mental dis-ease. There is a darkness to these voices that can cause you and me harm. These voices are not from the divine voice of God, but from the voice of darkness that wants to control and ruin your life. Again, remember, our great physician himself said that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, to the full. John 10:10. Jesus has complete power and authority over any and all voices from the dark and any and all voices causing you dis-ease, mental dis-ease. And our text from Luke this morning is an excellent example and an extreme example of the authority and power Jesus has to cast out any and all dark demonic voices in this particular case. Voices from the dark possessed this greatly troubled man in the story. This man from the region of the Gerasenes was a mentally tortured man with hundreds, thousands of demonic voices. Voices from the dark train-wrecking his mind and his life until he met Jesus. The presence, power, and the voice of Jesus Christ enters the scene and goes into battle for this man. This gospel story tells us that Jesus confronts Satan and his demons head on, and he casts the demons out of the tortured man and into a herd of pigs. The pigs are begging him to go into the herd rather than the abyss. And it's really neat, it's really interesting and great to recognize that Jesus controls it all, including giving the demons permission to go into the pigs. Jesus casts the demons into the pigs, and they rush down the steep bank into the lake where the pigs drowned. That's where we get the word deviled ham. Not really. I was just seeing if you're with me still. It's not. I did look that up, though. It's not. The gospel account tells us when those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the whole town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who saw it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and he left. It's interesting how they were filled with fear and overcome with fear. And who could blame them? They just witnessed a spiritual battle between good and evil, the forces of light and darkness at war with each other. They just witnessed the amazing power of God flowing through this man, Jesus. They just witnessed Jesus freeing a tortured man from the root cause of what and who is torturing him. The Gerasene community is very well that this tortured man that Jesus encounters. This is a man they are very afraid of. This is a man who could find no cure for his mental dis-ease. This is a man who thinks he's trapped forever in mental dis-ease. This is a man who is only receiving treatment for his symptoms. The only treatment his family, doctors, and community know to give him is to try to control his mentally unstable condition. He was mandated to live in the tombs, in the caves, isolated and far from the community that he lived in. He was naked and his feet and hands were shackled with chains. The community even had a guard assigned to him every day, day and night. Sometimes the dark forces in him would break those chains and overpower the guard and drive this mentally tortured man into the solitary wilderness. This man of the Gerasene tombs is a man who everyone thought was a hopeless case. This tortured man, I'm sure, has given up that there is any hope for his mental dis-ease. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus does four particular things in the process of casting out the demonic voices that possessed and controlled the man in the story. I call this the CIRR process. It's a process we too can access and allow our good Lord to administer to us as well. The first thing Jesus does is he commands the impure spirit to come out of the man. Starting at verse 28 and 29, our text says that Jesus says that when the Gerasene man saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. It's important to note that Jesus has all authority over the impure spirit and the impure voices torturing this poor man of the Gerasenes. Jesus is entering into this man's life and problem, and the demons controlling him are terrified. They know who they're messing with, the Son of the Living God. Jesus wants to enter into our lives too, church. He wants to deal with any voices of the dark that are tormenting us. The question is, will we let him in? This is very important because we need to let him take control of us. That means we have to trust him, because if we don't, then we are trying to deal with those voices on our own and under our own strength and power. We need the power of our Savior because he has all authority and power to clear those voices out of our minds and out of our life. He loves us and he wants to help us. The question is, will you let him in? The second thing Jesus does is identify the voices that are torturing the man of the Gerasenes. Jesus asks the voices torturing the man, "What is your name?" To which he replies, "Legion," because many demons had gone into him. Legion is a reference to a Roman legion of soldiers, which would be like 5,000 or 6,000 soldiers. So there were many demonic voices torturing this man. Jesus will help us identify any voices we struggle with too. It's important to know who the voices belong to and where they come from. Unidentified voices rattle around in our brain and can cause confusion and mental dis-ease. Jesus commands the voices, Jesus identifies the voices, and then Jesus removes the voices. We noted earlier that Jesus gives permission for the demons to go into the herd of pigs. Again, Jesus has complete authority over the demons and over those voices. My question is, do you have voices that are clattering around in your head that you need to be identified, that you need to have identified and be removed. Jesus is more than willing and more than able to command, identify, and remove these voices from your mind and life forever. Jesus commands the voices, identifies with the voices, removes the voices, and then he replaces. That's C-I-R-R. The last is that he replaces the voices with his voice. The Gerasene demoniac is completely restored and in his right mind because Jesus stepped in and did what only Jesus could do. The man of the tombs wants to stay with Jesus and go with him, but Jesus sent him away. He said, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The Gerasene man has a new voice guiding and directing his life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that his sheep listen to his voice. He knows his sheep and they follow him. He said that he gives his sheep eternal life and they shall never perish and never be snatched out of his hand. Jesus said that the Father who has given his sheep to him is greater than all and that no one can snatch his sheep out of his Father's hand and that he and the Father are one. That's John 10, 27 to 30. I'll close with this story for us this morning. We'll have Holy Communion together. When I first started out in ministry, I came across a book by Pastor David Siemens entitled Healing for Damaged Emotions. Dr. Siemens was a respected pastor, theologian, and spiritual counselor. In fact, when he wrote his book, he was professor at pastoral counseling at Asbury Theological Seminary. In his book, he describes how he would have, on occasion, weekend retreats that's centered on spiritual well-being and wholeness. The last evening of the retreat, he would have those attending gather their chairs in a circle and conclude their retreat with what he called the hour of the open heart. And during this time, folks would share what insights they had gained from their experience and any particular insights God had given them. Well, one man who happened to be a pastor shared about his deep insecurities that have haunted him his whole life. Those in the circle group seemed surprised to hear this because this man was very well known and respected in his community. He was 55 years old, pastored a large and growing church, and was a very successful preacher, leader, and shepherd of his flock. Not to mention he was also a very dedicated husband and father to his three children. And with tears welling up in his eyes, he shared how his insecurity was linked to his father, who verbally abused him in his childhood. His father regularly told him he was a loser and would never amount to anything. This regular badgering and tearing down from his father created a deep insecurity that haunted him all of his life. These memories and the hurtful voices from his father resurfaced during Dr. Seaman's retreat. The pastor told the group that these voices regularly haunted him, and he was ready to be delivered from these voices. He realized that he was trying to defeat these voices under his own power, but he just couldn't even defeat them or ever defeat them. The hour of the open heart provided this wounded man the opportunity to invite the presence of Jesus Christ into this battle and for the Lord to fight his battle for him. So let's let Jesus help us with our negative thoughts and destructive voices that bring us down. Let's let him into those difficult places in our mind, and let's let him help us remove those negative, destructive voices and replace them with his voice, his words, his grace, and his compassion, his voice calling us to him and telling us who we really are. We are his beloved and a child of the King. Amen? Let's pray as we have communion. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves to come to you with this precious Holy Communion meal, Lord, we pray right now that if there are any voices in our lives and in our minds and in our heads that cause us disease, wherever they may be coming from, we pray, O Lord, that you will reveal them to us. And we pray, O Lord, that as we prepare to receive this blessed sacrament, a reminder that this is your body which was broken for us, your blood which was shed for us upon the cross at Calvary, Your son sacrificed his very life for us so that we could have life in him and through him, and believing in him, set us free from sin and death and give us new life through the power of the resurrection and the power of that resurrected spirit living within us. We pray, O God, that this could also be a time of release and a time of freedom for our minds as we come before you. So before us, before this altar, before us and before the altar of our hearts, O Lord, we pray that you will help us lay down whatever we need to lay down today that is haunting us in our minds. Perhaps it's things of the past that just seem to come up over and over again. We've forgiven ourselves, we've forgiven others, we know that you've forgiven us, and yet somehow they still haunt us. Oh God, may this day be the day of salvation from that. Help us lay it down forever. Whatever those things in our minds, maybe it's distress or disease, panic, fear, anxiety, worries, doubts, all the things that can so trouble us and wear us down and break us down and cause us mental unhealth and mental dis-ease, oh God, reveal them to each of us individually and help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Enter into this with us and work with us, oh God, to reveal those things. And we pray, oh God, just as you did for the man freed and finally in his right mind, oh God, free us too. Command those voices to leave and be gone forever. Restore us, renew us, and replace those voices with the only true voice that matters, your voice, that calls us your beloved, that calls us your chosen ones, that you have revealed to us that you love us with a great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Help us replace those voices with your voice calling us home again to your love, your mercy, your compassion, your freedom, your peace. This is our prayer today, O God. May it be so for us. Forgive us of our sins. We pray that you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness and renew within us, O God, a sound mind, a sound heart, a restored mind and a restored heart, knowing that beautiful forgiveness you offer. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, in that same spirit,